Welcome to day 15 of lockdown in the UK, where we are all praying and lighting candles for Boris to come through. Didn't think I'd say that, but we're focusing today on the good news and the many positive things that are coming through, particularly regarding the environment. My name is Emma Marney.
And my name is Clarissa Brooke Turner, and welcome to day 23 of lockdown in Switzerland, where we are awaiting an announcement from the government about whether they're going to confine us, which is billed for Easter Monday. So we're waiting with bated breath to hear what's next on Easter Monday, although it does look like more of the same existing rules, which here include only essential journeys, outings for exercise only, gatherings of no more than five people.
Five people? We're only allowed two here in the UK, unless they're all in the same household. Is that the same for you?
I think the way the virus has been developing in Switzerland and the excellent healthcare system and the fact that their ICU units are only 40% filled and they're taking in people with the virus from France to help out means that there is a slightly less stringent set of rules than there is in other European countries, and possibly because they're looking to slowly spread out some herd immunity just gently.
Okay, and I noticed that there are other green shoots of recovery in Europe today. Austria is going to let garden centres and DIY stores reopen after Easter. And Spain is preparing to relax its lockdown. I even saw that the FTSE 100 index has gone up 167 points, whatever that means.
Well, that sounds like it's going in the right direction. That should put a smile on some people's faces. Talking of which, did you hear what some doctors are doing to make themselves a little less robotic towards their patients?
No.
They are painting, or mostly putting photographs of their smiling faces onto their masks so that COVID-19 patients are not looking at just a clinical cotton white mask, or in many cases, a plastic mask.
If they have any masks, I saw a Brooklyn hospital yesterday on the news where the poor nurses were wearing bin liners and skiing goggles. It was really shocking.
I don't think Britain is much better. As well as that medical fetish porn site being asked to donate their PPH, I gather BBC drama Holby City and Casualty are doing the same.
Oh, God. So who are you holed up with today? What's going on in Switzerland?
Well, I'm here with my children, Cecilia and Joe. My husband is still going to work and still virus-free, touch wood. Joe has got an essay crisis, so that brings you back to earth with a bump. Something about morality in economics, which I thought was quite a relevant subject. And Cecilia and I went to our neighbours, a couple that we've been in touch with as the lockdown came on, so we still consider them not to be a health risk, down to our neighbours for a circuit training session outside on the terrace. At a good distance, of course. She's a fitness trainer, so it's one way for us to battle the daily cake baking, because today it's almond and cherry loaf.
And oh, yes. In the middle of the times, they've got pictures of how many sort of circuit trainings you have to do for a slice of chocolate cake. So that's very timely.
Yeah, and in Switzerland, we good citizens are all rushing out to the post office to buy these new coronavirus stamps that are donating money to the Swiss Red Cross and Swiss Solidarity.
Brilliant. What do they look like?
Well, there's a picture of Switzerland in the centre and a rotating cross. Remember, that's part of the Swiss flag, with a globe and 50 francs, so that's about 38 quid, of every purchase, a book of 10, is donated with each stamp to the good causes.
I'm at home with my husband and three kids, and my daughter Millie is making trips to the post office today as well to send some of her smarter clothes that she no longer needs, all cleaned and sewn up, to a charity called Smart Works that helps unemployed and women in need dress up for interviews.
How does that work?
Well, apparently the women have to be turned down at numerous interviews to apply, and then they get styled into an interview outfit. outfit and try everything on. And then they're given one-on-one advice, and as many as 64% of them go on to get a job. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. I mean, I'm really, that's an incredibly thoughtful way of using people's discarded clothes. So what's caught your eye in the paper today, Emma?
Well, before we get on to our eco theme this week and welcome our friend and guest along, the sustainable farmer in Extremadura, Spain, Paul Richardson, I wanted to randomly fulfill a promise that we made last week in, I think it was day 11, for the recipe for the quarantini cocktail. It comes with a big thanks to Nancy Burrell for supplying it. It's 4 parts gin, 1/2 measure of vermouth, 2 parts lemon juice, and two parts rhubarb liqueur, shaken over a lot of ice. I'm going to post it instead of our usual lockdown dog as the image. And we might need Paul a bit later to tell us how to make rhubarb liqueur.
Oh, that sounds yum and rather lethal. And rhubarb is coming into season in farm shops now. Farm shops, actually, which are having a great surge in demand here in Switzerland. People don't want impersonal supermarkets now, apparently. They want artisanal bread, freshly laid eggs, unpasteurised milk and local seasonal veg.
Well, that seems a great moment to introduce Paul, who's producing all of that stuff at the moment and sharing it around with his neighbours now on his farm in Extremadura for many years. And he's going to tell us a bit about how this can be a good time to take stock of your buying and eating habits to make some changes that would really help the planet. Paul, welcome.
Hello, welcome. Greetings from Spain.
Before we get into the important saving the planet stuff, could you tell us a little bit about how to make a rhubarb liqueur, please, for the quarantini cocktail?
Yes, I can. The thing is, you don't want to distill unless you've got a, you know, a copper still and you want to go through all that faff, and it's probably illegal as well. What you need to do is steep the rhubarb in vodka, a mixture of vodka and Cointreau or Grand Marnier. That's what you need to do, with a sugar syrup, and let it sit there for two to three weeks and until all the colour has leached out of the rhubarb. And there you have your rhubarb liqueur.
And you can't make anything a bit quicker than that, so you can cocktail tonight.
I think we're talking about getting back to a slower lifestyle here, Emma.
Okay. Well, yeah, and this is an important moment for the planet right now because people are going outside, enjoying nature a lot more. Pollution's at its lowest. Nitrogen dioxide levels have halved in all our cities. So I wonder if you're feeling a little bit smug, if I may say, about your lifestyle that you've been promoting now for a long time.
Yeah. Well, yes, smugness is a perpetual danger, I find. As I kind of look around my 12 acres of plantations and woodland and streams and so on and so forth. So yes, it's difficult not to feel like that. Of course, I wouldn't confess to it too openly, but then again, you know, I have been working away for the last 20 years and learning most definitely. It's a steep learning curve, you know, and it takes a long time to learn how to do all these things. And after 20 years, I do feel a bit vindicated. It hasn't been easy always to have made the decision I made, but I'm so glad I did. And now, of course, it's paying rich dividends.
And what do you think about people, you know, who'd like to, like last week you talked about the chickens and how to rear chickens. By the way, we had a number of requests for the coop that you mentioned. Did you find out what it was called?
Yes, I did. It's actually called the Nogg, N-O-G-G. And okay. It's a very handsome, beautifully designed structure. So take a look at it.
So that's one small thing you can do. You can look after some chickens. And obviously that's very popular at the moment. What other things can you do you think, that can help either towards buying your food locally or producing something?
I think it depends on your circumstances. But I think there are all sorts of things that you can do on a small kind of scale. I mean, I'm very keen on kind of what I call extreme recycling. I mean, I think once you can, once you go beyond, you know, just sort of separating out your rubbish, I'm actually so obsessed with it. I'm even capable of buying things that I'm just attracted by the thing that's in, you know, the glass, the bottle, whatever it is, as a kind of recycling opportunity. But for instance, clothes washing machine doors make fantastic salad bowls. So I prowl dumps and tips for old. I rip out the glass sort of window of the washing machine and use it. It makes a fantastic bowl. So there's an example.
Oh, I see what you mean. That sort of that circular, which kind of points inwards or out inwards.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes
it's,
a salad.
It's the most stunning bowl. Yeah, very. It looks almost Danish. It is a real sort of design classic.
Look, has it got a sort of very jagged, dangerous edge?
No, it hasn't. Surprisingly not.
Wow.
The other thing I would want to share with you is do without those kind of foam and plastic washing up scrubbing things by growing your own vegetable sponges. They can be grown in any back garden, and they're entirely organic and biodegradable.
But are they really, don't they disintegrate in water?
No, they don't. That's what they, I mean, they use the sponges, but they make fantastic dishwashing implements.
But do you mean sponges like you would find at the bottom of the sea?
Yeah, loofahs, I think they're called.
Oh, loofahs.
Yeah, but they're actually vegetables and they can be grown. You can buy seeds and we grow them. So, I mean, you know, we're taking this and running with it. You know, we have been doing this sort of thing for a long time. And
can you just tell us that while we're talking about keeping things clean, about how you make your own soap?
Yes, we make our own soap from old olive oil, sort of rancid olive oil. And I mean, it's the most extraordinary process, because you'd think it's sort of counterintuitive that grease can actually remove grease. But we make our soap, also a very fine and wonderful soap, from pork fat, of all things. Rendered pork fat, and it produces this very delicate and lovely soap without any of the nasty parabens and additives that most detergents have.
Well, what's the cleaning agent in there?
Caustic soda.
Oh yes.
But as with most of these things, it's a lot easier than people are led to believe. You know, that's one thing I've learned actually during this whole process. That I mean, we distill our own hooch. And we, you know, we're trying to make our own whiskey now with rye. And I mean, all these things, they're actually just quite a lot of fun. I mean, there's obviously a certain amount of science behind these techniques. But, you know, it's just worth getting into it.
But just on, can I just ask you now about the whiskey? Each of these things are so interesting. I mean, if I don't know much about the Scottish heritage of whiskey making, but presumably they were making it many hundreds of years ago, and they must have used the traditional methods with rye and fermentation. And
yeah, I mean, it's basically quite simple. You're producing a ferment of low alcohol by allowing a fruit or a grain to ferment, and then you're distilling that. And producing alcohol, and that's sort of essentially what it boils down to, literally.
Hmm. And what about, okay, so that's well, alcohol we've gone into quite a lot, and a few items of cleaning items. What about if you actually, what would you recommend starting with if someone who's never grown anything before, and mainly UK based obviously, so it can't be to anything that's too requires too much sun. What would you recommend growing?
Well, I mean, the UK has a fantastic tradition of gardening and an amazing, you know, amazingly widespread expertise. People know an awful lot about plants in general. And a lot of people already do grow things like tomatoes, courgettes, which are unbelievably easy. Potatoes are good. Salads, obviously. All that sort of stuff. Summer vegetables. I mean, it's so easy, really, that if you have a patch of ground of any kind, you might as well do it.
But it needs to get some sun, doesn't it?
you need to get some sun. You need to be able to water it if it gets too dry, but that's not really a problem in England, obviously. And you need to just feed it with some kind of fertilizer, or preferably animal manure if you can get hold of that.
What about dog poo?
I think that might not produce a very tasty vegetable.
Well,
I like your thinking.
I've got a dog, and I thought it'd be a useful way to keep the circle closed.
You've got to keep it's herbivores, though, isn't it? Really, is what you want. You want animals that eat grass rather than
animals.
Yeah. Well, we've just moved into that particular sphere because we've bought some sheep, and they're multiplying. So we now have our own little herd, and of course we're now thinking what we're going to do with the fleece. So we're spinning and carding, and I'm looking for one of those old, perhaps you can help me here, Clarissa, one of those old sort of German-style spinning wheels.
Ooh.
So that I can be the granny in the corner in some folk tale.
Like Rumpelstiltskin.
Exactly.
Oh, well, Paul, thank you for all of those really interesting ideas. I'm really going to look at those, and the nog as well, because I think I am going to get chickens again. Here in the UK, we do seem to be following your example, Clarissa, and all bread flour has recently run out of local stores, and
Ooh.
It's followed on from the loo roll and the eggs that we mentioned last week. So tomorrow we're going to have on Nacho Trives, who's also from Spain, who's a master baker, and he used to sell out of his loaves within minutes when he took them to the local farmer's market in Ibiza. So he's going to come on. So that just leaves us to say thank you, Paul, for all of that.
Thank you, Paul. And to everyone listening, remember to stay safe, stay home, stay humorous.